our fine friends in here from the city, Mr. Munninger. And also, we've got Chief Rolls in here. Well, I understand we got some roads that are having a little bit of an issue here. So
well,
go
we
on
got
ahead.
A little construction underway. You know, we got lane closures on Adams Boulevard to facilitate some work on the downtown sewer improvement project that's currently underway.
And that looks actually pretty passable. I went through there, you know, on the weekend, and even with the snow.
It is. It's not bad, but I think in
you better have a heads up.
5 o'clock time, it's probably going to be a little slow through there.
Yeah, you don't get upset that the person ahead of you, they can't help it.
No, no, not at all.
What else we got?
We got, let's see, I'm sorry. We're going to be a little discombobulated this morning,
sir. Oh, that's okay. You know, Bailey's on vacation or something.
That's right. He's. I think he's sick. I'm not certain about that. But, so we're trying... Yeah,
he's
I kind of think
up.
So too.
That's what I think.
He's
yeah.
sitting back trying to see how well we handle this without him to see if he can do this more often in the future. So, just some other announcements. We still have the free mulching for undecorated Christmas trees. Yeah. That's going to run through the 26th.
Sure.
You can drop your trees off just east of Madison Boulevard, east on Madison Boulevard at the upper level parking at Sooner Park.
Mm-hmm.
You can, I've never. Never benefited from the free mulching, so I'm not certain 100% how that process works. But
it's free.
But it is free. That is definitely true. City offices will be closed for Martin Luther King Day next Monday. So
okay.
If you trash collections on Monday, it'll be moved to Wednesday. So just a heads up for all you Monday trash routes. Outside of that, I think that's kind of the bulletin of what's kind of gone on since last.
All right, we're going to check in with you here for dollars and cents here in just a moment. I want to check in with the Police Chief Rolls. I understand that we had a pretty darn good holiday weekend as far as people behaving and actually taking the department up on your free ride.
Yes, we were very excited. You know, the first year we did this, we had two people, or one person on New Year's Eve, two people on St. Patrick's Day. That took us up on the free rides. This year for New Year's Eve, we had nine people. So we were very excited. And what's more exciting is on New Year's Eve, there was only one person in the entire city who was arrested for driving under the influence of alcohol. And that was as a result of a single vehicle accident where the female driver was intoxicated, so she was arrested. So great job to our citizens for being responsible and for getting home safely and not putting the lives of themselves or others in danger. So we were very pleased with the number that we have. I think it's funny because I think people are starting to realize we're not trying to set them up. We're not trying to.
Last year they're thinking, hey, I'm riding in the back of a police car New Year's Eve. What's this all about?
Yeah. I think it's hard for people to understand. I'm going to go get intoxicated, then call the police for a ride home and make sense of that. But I think more people are starting to believe what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
And obviously there was nine people who took us up on the offer, and hopefully that just grows. We'll do this event again for St. Patrick's Day. I guess that's in March.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do it for St. Patrick's Day again. We'll make those services available, and hopefully people will take us up on the offer then as well.
Very good. We had some good crime stats from last year that, you know, a lot of folks, wow, hey, look at that. Tell us about the numbers.
Yeah, you know, one of the measures that police administration takes of how well the department's doing is crime rate. That's one of the things. So just looking at the overall crime numbers, they were down, not as much as what we would like. However, they're down. Now, one thing I would caution people is don't get caught up in percentages, because percentages can be a little misleading, not tell the whole truth. For example, if we have one homicide this year and we have two next year, that's a 100% increase.
Yeah, you're looking at the percentages and not the real numbers.
That's correct. Yeah. So, you know, anytime that we can see an overall decrease in crime, I think that we're on the right track. And that our police officers are doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
They're being more visible, especially in the community, in the neighborhoods. But our citizens are doing a good job. They're trusting us more. They'll call us more and let us know some things that are going on so that we can be more proactive, so we can head off some of the things that might turn into a crime. So our citizens are doing a great job of working in partnership with the police department, so I'm very excited about that. You know, overall, you know, one thing that people don't understand or realize, I think, is our dispatch center and how busy the dispatch center is.
I've had that job before. Yeah, you about have to have arms like an octopus to
you do.
Get it going.
You do. It's a difficult job, one that I certainly could not do, but our dispatch and communication people do an outstanding job. You know, just last year they took over 40,000 calls, and that's just calls that generated them doing some sort of emergency service, whether it be rural fire, the sheriff's office, police, EMS, something like that. That doesn't even count the calls that they get that says, how much is it going to snow today? So over 40,000 calls. So that's 110 calls a day about that our dispatch people handle. So that's a significant number that people don't realize. So those people in the dispatch center do an outstanding job. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that was very concerning to me starting off 2019, in the first quarter of 2019, we had some issues going on. There was a lot of violent crime, and it seemed like things were going crazy. We had people shooting at people in the middle of the street, you know, over on Baylor and some other things like that were going on, and it was very concerning. But it seemed to level out, which is a good thing. It's a good thing for our community. And overall, you know, the crimes against person, we had an overall decrease, mostly because of the decrease in the number of felonious assaults. That's the biggest thing that drove that number down. So that's a good thing. People are liking each other a little bit more, or at least treating each other a little bit better.
Resolving their differences without a weapon.
Absolutely. You know, but violent crimes or crimes against persons, you know, police have a little bit of role in preventing those, but really not a significant role in preventing those statistically and through the research. But research does show that police have police presence has a very direct impact on property crimes. The more police officers that are visible, the studies show that there's typically a decrease in property crimes. So that's one of the things that I really pay close attention to is our property, what's going on with our property crimes. And again, in 2019, we saw about a 15.5% decrease in those crimes. And those crimes are burglary, larceny, theft, stolen vehicles, things like that. The other thing about property crimes, the citizens can really help us prevent those. Lock your homes, lock your cars, take valuable items out of your vehicle, lock them in the trunk, don't keep them visible, and things of that nature. So the citizens seem to have done a better job of helping themselves and policing themselves, which helps our job, makes our job a lot easier. So we're excited about those things. Obviously, anytime that any city can see a decrease in those type of numbers, it's a good thing, as opposed to trying to explain the other side, maybe why it's going up so much. So we're excited. The biggest difference that we had 2018 versus 2019 were the number of warnings and citations that we issued, but that should be expected since we implemented a traffic unit. The warnings and citations were up over 50% compared to 2018, which is a significant number. And it's not all about writing tickets. It's about correcting behavior. You know, if you're a person who speeds a lot or who doesn't necessarily obey traffic control devices, it's a public safety issue. There's a chance you could run somebody over and all of the tragedy that goes along with that. So it's very, very important to follow the traffic laws in our state and or in our city, and we really don't do a very good job of that overall. Drive down the road. Don't take my word for it. Just drive down the road, and you can see that.
Oh, sir, those stop signs downtown are pretty much a good idea, because I've yet to see anybody actually stop at one.
Yeah, they seem to be.
And nobody wants to put lights up there. I know that.
Yeah. Well, even so, I mean, even look at the intersections that are controlled by lights. People still violate traffic laws there, which is a public safety issue.
I'm seeing a few things, and now mind you, I grew up near Chicago and Gary, Indiana, and stuff like that. People up there drive awful, but that's malicious intent. Down here, it's basic. I don't think folks are kind of locked in to what we're supposed to. Oh, look at that. Next thing you know, sailing right through a red light. So I see some of that, too. It's just too much familiarity and maybe just not paying attention as close as we should.
Yeah, you know, I don't think people have the intent to go out and violate.
No, they don't. They just take their eye off the ball a little.
Yeah, absolutely. But in doing so, we have to remember the mm-hmm. unintended consequences of that.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in the neighborhoods, you know, where kiddos are playing and a ball rolls out in the street and you're going 45 miles an hour when you're only supposed to be going 25. Mm-hmm. That's a significant difference when it comes to stopping your ability to stop in a timely manner. And that lack of stopping distance could really impact or facilitate mm-hmm. a negative situation. So I just encourage people to slow down. In the neighborhoods, especially as it starts warming up. Hopefully, I'm being an optimist here, thinking it's going to start warming up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, slow down in those neighborhoods and leave a little earlier than what you normally do. Then you don't have to speed, because I'd rather you arrive to your destination safely than have to drive too fast. So I just ask that the citizens continue to be diligent when it comes to the traffic laws and to protecting themselves against property crimes as well.
Sure. How do we do on the snow? Did we have any incidences that were outside of the ordinary? Because everybody would look like they're behaving pretty well yesterday, or Saturday, I should say.
They were, everyone but my kids. You know, we couldn't keep them inside. It was like something foreign was going on outside, so they had to be out there. And of course,
new to them.
Trying to wrangle them into appropriate cold weather gear was difficult. But no, the drivers around town did a very good job. No significant situations, none to speak of. We had, I think there were 5 accidents during the snow, but of course they were nothing major. Mm-hmm. There was one hit and run, which I don't think the snow had anything to do with that. people did a really good job, mm-hmm. Because you never know when the roads get a little bit icy and things get a little bit slick, not just in the snow, but also when it rains.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, people, it's really important to slow down and to give yourself a little more distance to stop and mm-hmm. and to give yourself a little more time to arrive to your destination. But overall, they did a really good job driving during the snow here in Bartlesville, mm-hmm. At least. And as far as on the highways or in the surrounding areas, I don't know. But we did a good job here.
Very good. Very good. Anything you'd like to add, Chief?
No. I just, again, I want to thank the police officers. You know, this was my first full year, was 2019. I got here October of 18, so that really doesn't count. But 19 was really my first year, and there was a lot of change in 2019, and I feel that our police officers and our staff did an outstanding job of adjusting to that change. And I've seen positive things with our community and the support that we have, that the police have. From our community, so very exciting. This is a very exciting place to be, and we have it better than a lot of other people. So Amen. You mentioned Chicago. We're night and day compared to Chicago or even Gary, Indiana. So we're very fortunate to have a community that supports police, and mm-hmm. we're also fortunate to have a community where the police interact in such a positive way with the community. So I want to thank everybody for what they've done in 2019, and I look forward to good things in 2020.
All right, very good. We've got some numbers of the monetary side of things there, Mr. Munn.
We got a little sales tax update, and we got some kind of a little bit of a review, mid-year review over the city's revenues.
How are we doing? You know, you came in looking pretty darn positive here, so I'm just going to assume that good news is on the way.
Sales tax collections for January were up dang near 3%, 2.94% to be exact, which equates to about $50,000 over January's collection. Roughly, the city's sitting here pretty well, about $240,000 over budgeted anticipation. So we'll take that.
Pluses are always good.
Always good. Always good.
You don't have to explain them.
Exactly. Exactly. A lot less analysis has to go into it when it's up. But, you know, it shows that our citizens are shopping local, spending their dollars here within the Bartlesville city limits. And, you know, we like to make sure that people know that that's directly what funds the operations that we provide to the citizens.
Indeed. You know, there a lot of folks don't really want to make that drive. here, there, or anywhere. You know, they'd rather do it right here at home. And I think the numbers spoke for themselves.
And I like to think, you know, if people can get what they need here, they're going to get it here. Yeah, they're not going to travel outside of here to get what they can get right in their backyard. Sure. But at the same time, we don't always have everything that people want here. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be some.
But we're working on it.
We're trying. We're trying very hard from our perspective to get things in that people want. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, we'll kind of move into the city's revenues as a whole.
Let's hear that.
We are actually, when we compared to budget, the city's actually 52% of what we anticipated on the year for the general fund as a total. That equates to about $12 million, mm-hmm. as opposed to what we budgeted at this point through the year would have been about $11.5 million.
Okay.
So things are looking good. Some of that's, some of it can be a timing issue. Mm-hmm. If, you know, maybe we get gross receipt collections early in the fiscal year versus the end of the fiscal year, but we still trend that out over a 12-month period to give an average. So general fund's looking good. It's in good shape. Expenditures are about where you'd expect them to be. Obviously, they're restricted by budgetary amounts that each department can spend, so they're mm-hmm. controlled. Revenues are not controlled. We get what we get coming in. And there's no real driver for that outside of, you know, the police writing some tickets out there. We could drive that, but they've done a really good job with their traffic unit of controlling that. As Chief said, you know, our number of tickets are considerably up. I have to imagine that'll level off at some point as behavior changes, as the chief alluded to earlier. But you're not going to, you know, some people like myself, I'm a habitual speeder. And like you said, it's not because I want to speed. It's just because I lack of attention, I think, more than anything, of how fast I'm driving. So I'm guilty of that as well as anybody else. But
we have ways to make that behavior occur. But.
Yeah, in the form of a citation. We'll kind of move on. We'll go talking to some of our enterprise funds, which I'm not certain how many people are in tune with the way governments work, or at least the local city government
works.
Well,
we can learn something here. This is a learning opportunity.
Our water, wastewater, and sanitation funds, we treat those like businesses.
Yeah.
So the money that they bring in goes into their own fund. They're treated like their own business. And whatever expenses they need, equipment, personnel, they directly fund themselves. So we do create a transfer out to the general fund, but it's only for cost recovery of personnel that reside in the general fund, such as, you know, portion of Mike's salary, portion of my salary, mm-hmm. whatever we can truly cost out and say that, okay, we really spent that much money of our time on this area. Mm-hmm. So we get a reimbursement back that way, but they're treated like their own individual business. They don't, you know, subsidize the general fund. They don't prop up the general fund. The revenues stay within there. And a lot to do with that is, take water, for instance. There's a lot of infrastructure updates need done constantly.
Tons, yeah.
And a lot of no's because those are major projects. The water treatment plant we did was a $40-some million project. And we've done tower renovations that have been, you know, $8 to $9 million renovations throughout town. So if we were using that money that was coming in from people's water rates on funding other things, we wouldn't be able to keep our infrastructure up the way it is, mm-hmm. and people, we'd have constant loss of service, which, you know, I couldn't imagine being a very happy citizen if I was constantly having service issues. So fast forward that back into, that's why we kind of keep the funds that are dedicated revenue streams from those enterprise funds in those enterprise mm-hmm. funds. And kind of looking at that, we'll look at the wastewater. Wastewater's looking good. It's at 51.2%. Over budget from where we thought, 51%, I guess would say, so we're 1.2% over what we anticipated the budget to be at this point. So collections are looking good there. We can travel that right on into our water. It's at 51%. Going into sanitation, it's at 51.1%. So we're ahead of the curve. You know, we would expect that to be at 50%. Anything above 50%, since we're at 50% of the year, is above budget anticipation. So some of that stuff's out of our control. Obviously, if you look at water revenues, they're really driven heavily off of weather, mm-hmm. rain. Obviously, summer months bring in a lot of water revenue. We've had some untypical summer months the last 2 years. So
I've heard.
So, you know, I'm just... I think I had to mow my grass every day twice a week, every week till like October this year. Mm-hmm. Usually by July, I don't have to mow it at all. You know, maybe once or twice a month. Mm-hmm. But it's just kind of where we're at. I don't know if this is the new norm or if we're just had some unseasonably high.
I think this year will tell.
So that's really kind of all we have on the mid-year stuff.
So the numbers are looking pretty good in both you guys' departments. You can't complain, huh?
It's been pretty easy for us right now. You know, when things are down, that's when it gets critical in the analysis and the ways you can get lean really start to take priority.
Mm-hmm. But when are the times that sometimes we see things kind of level out or sometimes dip a little bit, typically in a year?
From our spots, you know, if obviously price of oil drives a lot of stuff in this town.
Well, yeah.
So when there's big volatility in the oil market or, you know, obviously we're dominated by ConocoPhillips and Phillips, you know, depending on how their employment environment is, that can give us, you know, dips in sales tax.
So we just have to take it a month at a time.
That's pretty much what we do. That's why I report basically monthly.
All right, we got some good news. ABB's expanding and things like that, and hopefully that'll put some more paychecks out there. There are people maybe upgrading to maybe a better lifestyle with better paychecks and things like that. Maybe bring a few folks into town.
Well, you know, we have the BDC that's constantly trying to bring retail and good business opportunity into town for – I know they have a target for – types of jobs they want to bring to Bartlesville.
Sure.
They do a very good job at what they do. I know we had recently a retail establishment up on the council agenda last Monday, which they approved to bring in a Bricktown Brewery and Jimmy's Egg, which I'm pretty excited about that personally. I don't know what the overall thought of that is amongst the citizens, but it excites me.
Yeah. So, like I said, things are looking pretty good. Now, when we take a look at what's coming up here as far as public safety, Chief, getting into January and February, of course, we already outlined March. We've got St. Patty's and the ride program and everything. But what's new as far as maybe some of the things we might be seeing with our police department? Anything that we should keep an eye on or anything that we should be aware of?
Yeah, we have a couple things that are coming up. We had an idea that one of the things that we want to do at the police department is communicate in different ways as much as we can with our citizens. Because that's true. That's a lot of failure of many, many police departments. They don't communicate with the citizens enough. And so we're constantly looking for ways of how we can have a bigger footprint when it comes to communication with the citizens. So one of the things that we came up with, And I don't know a lot about this stuff because I'm still a little technologically behind the curve, I think. But somebody mentioned a podcast at the police department. Do it once a week and over different topics that relate directly to public safety in the city of Bartlesville. And so that was a good idea. We ran with that for a little bit, and then it expanded into why don't we do the video portion of that as well.
A webisode.
So whatever that thing is called. That's what we're working to do. We have a room at the police department that we've identified as the media room that we're going to kind of facilitate this weekly production from and just, you know, talk to different people in public safety and get their perspective on things that directly impact our citizens here in Bartlesville.
Where are we going to find this on your page on the website? Or
yes, I think – I don't know exactly what platforms we're going to use yet, whether it be YouTube or – some of the other platforms that are out there.
Certainly about a million.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. And again, technologically behind the curve. So wherever my people tell me the best place for that type of situation is, that's what we'll do. But we'll make sure that we communicate that very well, where that can be found, when it can be found. It's exciting to get to spread the word to our citizens and make them more informed on some public safety issues or police issues or city issues overall. So we're excited about that. The other thing we're excited about is, and obviously there's going to be more information as we get closer to that. There'll be more information more real information that's useful so people can be well-educated and take part of that. The other thing that we're excited about is that we have another Citizens Police Academy that's scheduled to start in March. The last Citizens Police Academy was a major success. It was very good. We had some great feedback. So we decided we're going to have another one. It starts in March. I think we're going to take 25 people, and it filled up pretty quickly. Actually, let me correct myself. We were going to take 20 people, but we had such an overwhelming response, we've increased that number to 25. There's a chance that we could increase that number again, depending on the more people that may be interested. But at some point, we have to say, you have to wait till the next one because we only have so much space and things of that nature. But we're excited that so many people are interested in a Citizens Police Academy. You know, they meet one night a week for, I think, 3 hours. It's for 11 weeks. So, and during that 11 weeks, they get to see all aspects of law enforcement as it pertains to us here in Bartlesville. They get to ride with police officers. They get to learn about criminal investigations. They get to learn about traffic enforcement. They get to go to the range and shoot our weapons. They get to learn about some defensive tactics type stuff. So it's really cool. Last year, I think at least one person volunteered to be tased. Don't know if we can talk some of the city staff into maybe signing up for that this year, but it's totally volunteer, obviously. But you know, they really get to see things from what it looks like behind the badge. Mm-hmm. And that's important. Again, it's another way of us communicating with the citizens and being interacting with them in a positive manner. Because you know, so many interactions with cities and communities and law enforcement is negative these days. You hear about it all the time. And fortunately, we don't have a lot of that here, and I want to make sure that doesn't change.
Sure.
Our citizens are very, very, very supportive. Our police officers do it the right way for the most part. Yeah, we're not perfect. We get it wrong sometimes, but for the most part, our cops get it right, and they do it for the right reasons, and they do it the right way. So the more that we can get to interact in a positive manner with our community and give them the opportunity to see things from our perspective, I think the better off we are. So we're excited about those things.
That's really good. You know, I really think this driving folks home when they've had a few tipples is a very good starting point, because once they see something like this, and you mentioned it earlier, it's trust.
Sure.
And now, you know, we're seeing that, you know, folks are witnessing the presence with your traffic department. You know, you're getting into neighborhoods. And hats off to you guys, because you're keeping honest folk to honest,
sure.
Not only behind the wheel, but also maybe someone who's looking for a lock that ain't locked when no one's around. All of a sudden, they see a car coming. And they're like, hey, this is not a good day to go to jail.
I agree with that. I think the visibility.
Visibility is awesome.
From an outsider looking in into it, I think our police are far more visible now than they used to.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Yeah, obviously, you have your traffic units out there, and obviously, people are seeing people pulled over. People are seeing more units on the streets, and I think it just, all in all, it's probably a good reason why your crime rates are going down.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You guys are moving well in the right direction.
Yeah, it just, from appearance sake, it seems like people who might have been a little crusty or a little bitter about interactions with police officers in the past, they're saying, well, hey, look at that. You know, maybe they do have my back, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's all right. And hopefully you can win some hearts and minds this way. I really like your philosophy, and I really like the way that you and Rocky and everybody else have been taking this on in this past year. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that.
Very good. I just started thinking of something.
What you got?
You got, you know, rock and roll.